The Business Buzz Podcast. The Business Buzz.
Good evening and welcome to the Business Buzz right here on VFM 88.1. My name is Mudiwa Mob Justice Gavaza and I'll be your host until about 8 p.m. Who's to say that the world of business can't be entertaining? Make sure you hold on to your seats as we seek to educate, entertain, and keep you intrigued and informed about the world of business. So for today, it is a Thursday and we're here until about 8 p.m. And right now we're talking about how the financial service sector has actually changed quite rapidly with the emergence of new technology that actually allows businesses and individuals to easily make financial transactions using technology. So whether you're purchasing food online or sending an e-wallet to a friend, fintech is all around us in 2020. Tonight we're going to be talking about how fintech is being used in the informal sector and for small businesses to drive business growth. That's what we're going to be talking about today. So we're going to be having an interview with Felix Kamenga, who is the Chief Officer for Financial Services at MTN South Africa, talking to them about mobile money solutions for the SME sector. And we're also going to be talking to Tina Mason, who is the Chief Operating Officer at A2Pay, which is a fintech company, about the changing behavior, how technology is changing behavior for small business owners, particularly sponsor shop owners. So that's how the show is going to be looking like, that focus on technology, that focus on small businesses, that focus on the informal sector, that part of the business community that might not necessarily have access to formal financial services. So that's what we are going to be looking at for today. Also coming up for the next hour, we're going to be having the Business Wrap. That's a part of the show where we give you a roundup of the week's top trending business and economics news. And then we're also going to be giving you our Buffalo Index, where we give you the state of your 100 Rand and see what your Buffalo can do for you for today. Otherwise, you can keep in touch with us. Let us know on social media if you are, trading, are you using mobile money? What type of fintech solutions have you been exposed to? Are you using them as a consumer, perhaps as a business owner? On Facebook, we are VOFM, that's Voice of Vids. You can also find our other Facebook page, that is the Vis Radio Academy. On Twitter, we're at VFM, and then our hashtag is hashtag Business Buzz. And then you can also find podcasts of the Business Buzz show that are available on vis.journalism.co.za/business. So that's how our show is looking like. On the other side of this, we are going to get into our Business Wrap. Keep it locked. This is the Business Buzz.
Business Wrap with Zanele Kunene.
It's time for us to get into the Business Wrap. That's a part of the show where we give you a roundup of the week's top trending business and economics news. And for the first time in 2020, we have our resident financial expert, Zanele Kunene, who is a financial advisor at BDO Wealth Advisors. Zanele, how are you?
Yeah, with you, I'm super, super excited. As usual. You know, I looked at today's date. You know, it's like 2-0-0-2-2-0-2-0. It sounds so lucky. So tonight we're playing the Powerball, which is the right thing. But tonight also we are going to be focusing on the budget speech. I think it's happening next week. It's important that we just go through it and we look at it quite well.
Yeah.
I read an article by Marcus Botha, who's the head of corporate tax at BDO. And in this article, he posed the question actually saying, why do we pay taxes? And I was like, when last did we even ask ourselves that question, you know?
Yeah.
And it reminded me of this thing called first principles thinking, which is about not saying let's remake the wheel, but what is the purpose of the wheel? What is its fundamental?
Yeah.
You know? So when we're looking at why do we pay taxes, you know, it's because government is supposed to do certain things for us, you know. He's supposed to build cities and improve the economy. He's supposed to develop it in such a way that we are attractive for foreign investment and that our exports are more, that our exports grow a bit more. But what we find is that there's this thing I call indirect taxes, which is basically corruption taxes.
Yeah.
So what it means is for example, basic education. If we had a good education system, we wouldn't then need to be looking for private schooling, for example, just to say. Because what we are finding in our client meetings is we've got these young parents starting out their families saying, we want to save up for our kids' education. They're not saying we're saving up for public schools. We're saving for private schooling because we know that the education there is far better. So if government were to have taken care of that and were to have invested within our teachers and invested technology, then... those indirect taxes.
Yep.
And we see that across the board. And what another thing that I've noticed is that you have the taxpayers pool, which is shrinking quite a lot. And it's shrinking not because people don't want to pay their taxes. It's shrinking because the lack of trust that taxpayers have now when it comes to government spending, because we're not seeing the value for where the money is going. We don't see it. But what we do see is an increasing debt within government spending. In the Sana speech last week, you know, Ramaphosa said, the President Ramaphosa, he said that because we are unable to increase the growth levels within the country, we are also unable to generate an income that covers the expenses that we have. And he also mentioned that spending has also been redirected towards consumption rather than towards, you know, growing the economy or building the much-needed infrastructure. And another thing that's stopping our country from building that much-needed infrastructure is also that we are directing quite a lot of the little income that we have towards servicing debt.
Yeah.
You know, so our funds are all going, they're all going left instead of going to places in which that will help us. Because if we think about it, by us paying taxes, we are saying to government, this is our duty to you, but you also have a duty to us. And Marcus speaks about that in this article and struck me in my heart. I was like, it's true.
Yeah.
You know, they meant to do something and they are not doing that. And when we are looking at the shrinking taxpayers pool, we must also consider the unemployment rate as well. So you've got this shrinking taxpayers pool that is paying for the whole country, and majority of that country, while 25% is unemployed.
Yeah.
And that 25% does not include those who have given up.
Zanele, very quickly, I like the fact that you've emphasized quite a bit this shrinking tax base, because I think one of the points of consensus amongst economists at the moment is that we might see a VAT increase of some sort or some type of tax increase, simply because the government is trying to fund all of these different projects that it has. Given what you've just said about the shrinking tax base, etc., do you honestly expect that the minister will, you know, tax us more than we already are?
I think that if you were to consider that, it would be a last option. But I've also heard people saying you might increase it. But if you just the personal income taxes of how it's already, how taxpayers are already heavily burdened by it, I think it's a matter now of how they collect taxes.
Yeah.
I think that should be the main focus. Because if you remember last year, they were looking at the tax administration and re-looking at that. And I know they put somebody new up front to run the ship and to build confidence back within taxpayers with SARS. So I don't think that the VAT increase will happen. That's just my personal opinion. I think that what they could possibly look into doing is looking at how they collect taxes and improving that, because I think that that's like step one, you know. Where's the tap, you know? Let's start there. Let's not go and try and create another tap or make another tap bigger, but let's go to one that's already there and fix that structure to ensure that once that's done, then we could do other things. So that's just my opinion on that.
Yeah.
But I wanted to actually ask you a question. I know you're running short on time, but, you know, Bill Gates has been saying that he believes that taxes on wealthy people should increase. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's a fair thought, but I think we should not misconstrue what it is, because when you look at the, when I've looked at the personal break, the breakdown, sorry, of how SARS collects tax revenues at the end of the year, you see, for example, that personal income tax still makes up an overwhelming majority of the amount of tax that is collected. Not to say that rich people should not be taxed, but simply to say that that is not like some panacea that will solve all our problems, because even with 28% corporate tax, the corporates in South Africa still make up a much smaller tax base. Even though you've got companies like Naspers that are worth like a trillion rand, they and all their taxes still don't make up as much tax as government is able to collect from us. So even if South Africa, with all its wealthy people, was to start taxing them more, how much is that really going to, how much are they really going to collect? And will that be enough? Because for me, I think the first point you raised when you started talking about indirect taxes, you know, corruption, leakages, etc., I think those are some of the big places where the government, the state, really needs to tighten up. That's just me.
That's true. I think we do need to focus on that, but not in a commission inquiry. I think a real practical what's happening in the books and tell a story.
Yeah.
But it's just how we personally feel.
Okay, cool. On the last point about the budget, actually, do you expect any surprises from next week? Because our Minister of Finance is quite a cavalier character. Do you expect any surprises from the budget, or are we likely to see issues of SOEs, the taxes, unemployment, the shrinking tax base that you just spoken about, servicing debt, or are those likely to just be the issues that address next week?
Just taking upon what was said in the SONA, which the SONA is basically, for me, I keep saying personally, but what it was, and we all know it, the SONA was a repetition of the promises that were made previously, and so there was nothing new within the SONA. So for the budget speech, I'm not really too hopeful on anything new, but what I do know is I think we might get some practical, well, not practical, but I mean we might get some specific details in terms of how certain things that were promised within the SONA would be taking place, because the SONA really missed details. It had no details, nothing that could reassure investors of any kind of commitment that government is willing to make to strengthen the economy, to fix the SOEs, or just to restabilize the economy.
Okay, cool. So that's been us on the line with our financial expert, Zanele Kunene, telling us that she is expecting specific details from Minister Tito Mboweni's budget speech next week, highlighting the fact that there are a lot of structural issues that need to be addressed, specifically indirect taxes, the servicing of the national debt, together with addressing a shrinking tax base, and also highlighting that we are unlikely to see a VAT increase. But one of the big issues that needs to be addressed is how the state collects tax revenues. So that's been it in terms of the business wrap. On the other side of this, we get into the Buffalo Index.
Business wrap with Zanele Kunene. The Buffalo Index on the Business Buzz.
It's time for us to tell you the state of your 100 Rand in our Buffalo Index. And for today, because we're focusing on the informal sector and because we're talking about small businesses, we decided to look at a couple of items that are staples or you can expect to buy from a local spaza shop. And with 100 Rand, you will be able to get, you know, just a bit of cooking oil, because a big 5 liter, if you are, you know, taking, if you're buying it on that level, is about 131 rand, so you'll need about 1.3 buffaloes to get that done. But on the smaller end, you know, two, you can get about two packets of Cadbury sweets for your 100 rand. Otherwise, in terms of bread, which is another staple, you can get about six and a half or so loaves of bread, and then milk, which is something else that we find on a lot of our breakfast tables. You can get around 4.5 cartons of normal milk. That's your 500 mils. And then slab chips, the medium-sized ones. I think everyone likes themselves some good slab chips. Those are about 20 rand. So for your 100 rand, you can get about 5 packets of those. So that's been it in terms of our Buffalo Index. If you are, you know, going around and looking to buy some items from your local spaza shop, that's what your 100 rand can do for you. On the other side of this, we get into our main topic.
The Buffalo Index on the Business Buzz. You don't have to be a liker to like things. So like us on Facebook. Like us on Facebook. Facebook. At VowelFan, in brackets, voice of Vince. You're tuned in to the Business Buzz.
Welcome back to the Business Buzz. Today we are talking small businesses. We're talking technology. We're talking about how fintech is being used in financial technology. And there've been some interesting insights that have come, particularly from the African continent. If you look at countries like Kenya, where mobile money, for example, has really been quite a phenomenal product, and has actually spurred a lot of activity on that end. And I think something that's also quite interesting is the way that in life, one of the things that's also been interesting is how, you know, countries like Zimbabwe, for example, actually run on an informal economy together with one of the fastest growing economies on the continent, that is Ethiopia. And they themselves are running on an informal economy, and have been growing at quite a high percentage over the last couple of years. So as we keep talking just around some of these issues, it's quite interesting to note that the informal sector is getting itself quite a few... interesting players and a lot of interest, particularly from technology companies. And for today's show, we are going to be talking to MTN, and we're going to be talking to A2Pay. Otherwise, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're back on the other side of this. Welcome back to the Business Buzz Show. For today, we are talking about small businesses. We're talking about the use of technology out there in the informal sector. Remember that you can keep in touch with us, get in touch, let us know what are you doing in your business. Have you been using financial technology, and how is that going in your business? Our Facebook page, that is of our FM, that's Voice of Vids, and you can also find the Vids Radio Academy Facebook page, and then you can also find us on Twitter. We're at VowFM, and remember that you can also find our podcast on vids.journalism.co.za /business. So in terms of that, I just thought, you know, we could highlight the fact that just before the break, I was talking about countries like Zimbabwe, countries like Kenya, where EcoCash and Safaricom's M-Pesa have really done a lot to change the way that people are doing business there. And I know that I was there at the end of last year, actually, and it's actually quite interesting how people are talking about the fact that because you can trade on your phones, on your mobiles, it makes the ease of doing business pretty much easier. And then in terms of that as well, they have said that in countries like South Africa, it makes it a bit difficult for services like that to actually have things like that, because there's such a high rate of banking in South Africa, so that makes it a bit difficult for some of the fintechs to actually get on. So what's been interesting is the way that in the rest of the continent, they say that the rate of banking is actually less than 50%, and it's actually at less than the 50%. But in South Africa, for example, it's at 75%. it's at more than 75%. So going ahead, it then says that what are the prospects? And I've seen some interesting fintechs that are out there. One of them that was quite interesting is our guests that are going to be on the show coming up, and that is A2Pay, just giving trade finance as well. And then MTN's mobile money, which it did launch for the first time in 2012, and then they've decided that they're going to do it again. One of the biggest enablers is just the fact that without access to formal banking, there's an opportunity for businesses to actually offer formal insurance services. Formal insurance services, and to also offer, I guess, lines of credit as well. That's one of the things that's actually happened, and what are called microloans. So what are called microloans, and that's where you have very small amounts. That's where you have very small amounts that are actually forwarded to people. And then I think $2, I heard the other day that there are businesses that are advancing as much as little as $2, which is about 20 to about 30 rand, just depending on what the exchange rate is at the moment. So in terms of that, there's a lot of opportunities. And when I was in one of the informal settlements last week, it was also quite interesting to note that the amount of money that is flowing in these sectors is actually quite a bit. We visited a spaza shop that's actually turning over like 100,000 rand a month, and another one that is doing about 300,000 rand a month. And this is what you'd consider to be a typical spaza shop. So I don't know, you know, what opportunities people are going to be taking. But I remember we did have a show sometime last year or the year before, and it was with a man called Gigi Alcock, who wrote an interesting book that is called, Casinomics, just talking about, what's going on out there in the informal economy and the opportunities that are available for people that are, willing to come in there and give out the solutions. So another one that I saw recently is about logistics, and they offer trade finance. And now on the trade finance side, it's basically where you give people enough money to be able to buy and sell their stock at the end of it, because cash flow, working capital, things like that are really quite difficult for most for most people to do. So going ahead, we've had a bit of trouble getting in touch with MTN, but we are going to take a break, and then we'll be back on the other side of this.
Mob Justice on the Business Buzz.
Welcome back to the Business Buzz, and as promised, we said that we're going to be talking to MTN, and on the line we are joined by Felix Kamenga, who is the Chief Officer for Financial Services at MTN South Africa, to talk to us about Momo, which is their mobile money solution. Felix, how are you?
Good, and you?
I'm all right. Thank you so much for joining us on the show today. For those who might not know, could you just give us just a rundown of what MTN's Momo is, and why you guys have decided that you are going to launch it again in South Africa?
All right. Momo Money is a service that's been around since, I think, 2012, if I'm not mistaken. We did MTN. Yeah, it's been on since 2012, and it has huge popularity across sub-Saharan Africa.
Yeah.
Because what it does, it basically extends financial inclusion and allows people who never had access to banking and financial services, it basically extends the reach to them. Most importantly, I think it's the model has been built around a very cost-effective access channel, so you can access it via your USSD or your mobile phone app, and it's available to almost everybody, because it's also a zero fees on the account.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, one of the things that we are really quite focused on today's show is, you know, how small businesses are using, you know, fintechs and, you know, some of the technology solutions that are out there. So when it comes to, I guess, Momo in particular, how do you guys envision the informal sector and, I guess, the small business and SME sector to make use of the solution that you guys have?
Yeah. I'm glad you asked that question because mobile phones and digitalization of services really provides a vast array of solutions to small businesses, especially around some of the inconveniences and insecurities they basically face on a day, and some of the challenges they face on a day-to-day basis. Case in point, a lot of small businesses basically have a cash problem.
Yeah.
With mobile money, it's possible, and we've done this. We're doing this currently in many of our operations, and we'll be rolling this out soon. We'll allow them to basically accept payments electronically via mobile money.
Yeah.
So you can basically pay, receive Momo payments. And you can also pay your suppliers with Momo. So we really have quite a big and broad plan to basically deliver services that are really meaningful and helpful to that segment. In other countries, we've basically extended this to offer small loans. As you know, cash flow is a major problem for small businesses and managing their cash flow. Imagine somebody who has to basically lock up his phone, probably go and get money to get more stock. With mobile money, we have another, especially in other countries, we basically made it easier for them to request and get a loan on the fly. So that really brings and enables small businesses, because a lot of these businesses really, they don't have access to credit. I'm sure you'll appreciate in some of the countries we operate in, we don't have credit bureaus and things like that. So we are able to utilize alternative scoring methods to facilitate the granting of that loan. So.
Yeah.
It's basically, it's that, and then if you extend it further in terms of especially looking upstream in terms of the supply chain, they can basically be able to order their goods and services, place orders, and pay electronically. Now, imagine someone who doesn't have access to banking services. They have to collect cash and go and pay in cash to get the order filled. With mobile money, you just basically be able to call, place an order, and pay electronically. And this is where our ambition really lies.
Mm.
We have a lot of other things around accepting payments and making sure that you can actually be able to also service and fulfill most of your services electronically as well. So we're not only talking about brick and mortar, but we also have your e-commerce players that are small. You've got a small shop.
Yeah.
Momo will make it, and Momo, you can use Momo to you can accept Momo, and especially for those businesses and e-commerce shops that find that the current options that are on the market are burdensome, especially around costs. So we give them an option, and for the customers, it's a real secure way to pay because it's cardless. Our approach to e-commerce is when you go to a checkout point, you basically enter a number, you get a prompt to confirm that purchase on your phone.
Yeah.
And two clicks and you're basically done.
Okay. Now, Felix, I understand that you guys you did allude to it just now, but I understand you guys have millions of subscribers who are using this product in the rest of Africa. I think 30 plus million users, the last information that I checked, and you've actually launched it in countries such as Swaziland, which is really close to home, and Nigeria, which is the most populous country on the continent. What are some of the takeaways that you think, I guess, the South African SME market could possibly use here in SA that you've seen in those other markets?
I think there's a general misconception around SMEs in terms of the way that businesses are run. And I've had the privilege of working across East Africa Central as well as West Africa. And I've seen in a lot of those markets. And the general misconception is that they don't want to formalize the business. And number two, they're not structured.
Yeah.
Which, to be honest with you, is a total misconception in terms of the way small businesses are conducted. The majority of small businesses suffer mostly because of capital as well as access to markets. And what we try and do, what we've learned, is that by enabling them with the right accesses, from internet to access to financing, you can open up a whole world of opportunities for them that will allow them to expand and grow their business and formalize it even further. So we are a big, big fan of small businesses, and we intend to put a lot of emphasis on small businesses. We also want to create small business opportunities. So for us, it's a major, major part of what we do, and in other countries as well as something that we're starting locally. So those learnings have enabled, and we've generally interacted with small businesses a lot. Even here in South Africa, the majority of our airtime is sold by spaza shops. So we have a good idea in terms of what their pain points are and some of the issues they face on a day-to-day basis.
And then I guess on the last point for us is in terms of, I guess, education, because I'm sure that for that part of the market, there might be perhaps resistance just in terms of understanding some of the benefits, etc. What type of initiatives are you guys, taking to make sure that people understand how the system works and some of the benefits that could come from making use of it?
Yeah, we're employing an army of ambassadors that will cover the major cities as well as some of the townships and as well as some of the rural areas. We're really going to spend a lot of money on ensuring that one-to-one interaction is facilitated. It's costly, but we really think that the human touch, especially looking at the target market that we're looking at, that human touch will be very important. We also obviously running our own campaigns. We're building. We have ads, and we have other digital channels for educating, but we are not discounting.
We seem to have lost Felix on the line. That was Felix Kamenga, who is the chief officer for financial services at MTN South Africa, just giving us a roundup of their mobile money platform and how it is going to be used in South Africa, and what they're planning to do in the local market, and gleaning from some of the lessons that they have made from the rest of the countries that they are in, countries like your Swazilands, countries like Nigeria and Ghana. So that's been it in terms of this part of the show. We'll be back on the other side of this.
You're tuned in to the Business Buzz.
Welcome back to the Business Buzz. We just came from talking to Felix Kamenga, who is the Chief Officer for Financial Services at MTN South Africa, giving us a roundup of what they're doing with mobile money. On that end, they recently launched it in South Africa at the end of January into February, and they are saying that they want it to be as easy as using cash. But right now, we want to switch over to talk about how technology might be used to change the behavior of your small business owners, particularly in the informal sector. And on the line, we are joined by Tina Mason, who is the Chief Operating Officer at fintech firm A2Pay. Tina, how are you?
I'm very well, Madiwa. Thank you for having me on the radio, and welcome to your listeners.
Thank you so much for joining us. Perhaps could you give our listeners just a roundup of A2Pay and the project that you guys are running in terms of equipping informal traders and spousal shop owners with terminals, trade financing, and how that is working?
Yes, it's a lovely story. It's really a collaboration between a private fintech company, a state entity like the Jobs Fund, and then SASME. And the SASME Fund, which has provided us with on-lending capital to facilitate financial inclusion for the spousal shops.
Yeah.
So in a nutshell, what we've got is we've got this very robust technology backbone. And technology changes lives when it solves a pain point or adds value.
Yeah.
And in collaboration with the Jobs Fund, we got this project to reduce the barriers to sustainable employment through the application of technology. It's a long-winded thing way of saying use technology to improve the sustainability of businesses. And we went out and we took this backbone and we looked at how we could solve some of the major pain points for the spousal shop.
Yeah.
And so there are really five main pain points that spousal shops or small traders in the informal sector struggle with. The first one is a lack of regulation, which we can't impact directly. But then they have isolation, lack of access to technology, lack of control of their business, lack of access to funding.
Mm.
So we built the tool, which is a point-of-sale device, which allows the merchant to control and run their entire business and build a trading history.
Mm.
And then with the coaching methodology to enable people to adopt the technology.
Yeah.
It's a fairly involved behavioral change that we are facilitating here.
Yeah.
But our whole focus on the project has been based on four simple assumptions.
Yeah.
One is that entrepreneurs create jobs.
Yeah.
Two, that if you give the right people the right information, they make the right decisions. Three, the primary market is where it's at. We don't call the informal sector the informal sector. We call it the primary market. Technology changes lives. So when you are able to step by step move a merchant through some of the transitional processes or changes that go on in terms of moving from one state to another,
yeah,
and you've got people who can handhold that and actually support, because it's not training, it's actually coaching. And once the light goes on and the right people see the right information, they then adopt the technology.
Because I was going to ask, in terms of making those behavioral changes, do you meet any type of resistance? Because I can imagine that your business owners must be quite a wide spectrum of ages, from very young to perhaps older generations that might not necessarily have grown up with a smartphone.
Yes. So Well, absolutely. And what we've learned is we've built a coaching methodology that enables a young South African. We employ young first-time workers, and we provide them with the content and the ability to coach,
yeah,
not just the content. And, of course, there's resistance. There's resistance to change all the time. But when people see the benefit, so it's about taking the step with someone, showing them the benefit. Taking the next step with them, showing them the benefit. When they see that they can control their stock in their shop, they can control theft, they can see their turnover, they can actually start having a plan and a vision for themselves, because now they can access capital because they've got a trading history. Then people change their behavior. So the majority of our merchants are in their middle years. We've even got a Gogo at 72. And we've got a young girl who we had on television the other day at 32.
Yeah.
So you're absolutely right. It's the full spectrum.
On that, I actually like the fact that you've brought out, the young lady at 32 and the older lady at 72. Do you have any success stories or any interesting stories of, perhaps how some of these spaza shop owners have been able to grow their businesses using the technology?
Yes, absolutely. So once people have got the disciplines in place,
yeah.
This is all about discipline. It's an exchange of behavior for benefit. Once we have got the disciplines embedded in the business, in other words, there are FMCG disciplines and there are financial disciplines to running a retail outlet.
Yeah.
And once we can see the trading history, people can then apply for capital. So in the process of readying someone for financial inclusion, the massive change happens in the business when people can A, control their business,
yeah.
and B, then access capital. So yeah. The two people in question we spoke about now, both quadrupled their turnover, and the most astonishing things. So they bought a popcorn machine. The Google bought a popcorn machine. She bought a deep fryer. She started putting in additional product lines onto her business. The young girl of 32 actually operates out of a proper shack. It's not a formal business. It's not a bricks and mortar or a container.
Yeah.
And she quadrupled her turnover. She bought a snooker table with the capital.
Yeah.
She now has, and what we've seen is when the technology is there to provide the information, and when the coaches are there to provide the support, and the coach ceases to be relevant after a while because they've done their job, and there's the capital, you actually see people start to dream and to plan and to execute again. And the disciplines have improved enormously in the business. People start taking a pride in their business,
yeah.
and a pride in themselves. Beautiful. Oh.
Okay. Because we're running out of time, we only have time for one more question. And that's just around how do you communicate the need for more organizations or corporate entities or government, for example, to actually come on board? Because I think the initiative you are talking about right now, I think you mentioned three different entities, organizations coming together to make this work. Do you have capacity to get more partners on board? What type of synergies do you see going forward?
We definitely do. At the moment, this collaboration is working beautifully. So the Job Fund is a highly competent government division. They report directly to Treasury. And they have facilitated the equipment transfer to the merchants and various other investments.
Yeah.
And then we built the training and coaching methodology, and then the SAS, and he's obviously done the finance.
Yeah.
So yes, what we found is that I think the answer is yes, we do have capacity for that.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you so much. That was us with Tina Mason, who is the Chief Operating Officer at A2Pay, which is a fintech firm that is working to facilitate trade finance and technology solutions for spaza shop owners at the moment. That's it for today's show. Thank you so much to all our guests. We started off the show with Felix Kamenga, who is the Chief Officer for Financial Services at MTN South Africa, and then we ended off with Tina Mason from A2Pay. Some interesting insights coming out, just the fact that people are taking time to develop solutions and fintech solutions in particular for the informal sector, or what Tina refers to as a primary market, means that there's a lot of untapped opportunities in that part of the market. And I think the exciting part is what Felix is talking about, just making it easy to make payments, getting around the risks of carrying around cash, and just enabling people to run their businesses from their phones. In the same way, building a credit history using the terminals that A2Pay is using making it easier for people to trade. So that's been it for today's show. Remember that you can keep in touch with us on Facebook. We are VAR FM, that's Voice of Wits. Our other Facebook page is the Wits Radio Academy. On Twitter, we're at VAR FM FM, and then our hashtag is #BusinessBuzz. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Gloria Mabuza, together with our technical producer, Kutuano Serame. Don't miss the Business Buzz, same time, same place next week for more insight into the world of business. Up next on the VAR FM lineup, we have a living electro. So for myself, Leo Mob, Justice Kavaza, and the rest of the team, it is good evening and take care.
Mob Justice on the Business Buzz. The Business Buzz Podcast.